and a little bit of echo. First of all, I want to say thank you to Ralph for that message this morning. I think that was a really good message, and it ties in very well with some of what I'm trying to do when we're looking at the book of Romans. And because we're talking about that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what I'm trying to do in the looking at the book of Romans and using it as sort of an index to the whole of the scripture, talking about the unity of the scripture and how God, from the very beginning, right through to the present, and I believe right through to when he comes again to be with us and to establish his kingdom here on earth, that God has shown a continuity of his message, his plan, his way of doing and fulfilling his purpose. And so that's a large part of what I'm trying to do when I take a look at what Paul does in the book of Romans. Paul in the book of Romans is really talking about what it means to be a Christian person. And if I was to stop for a moment and say to you, what does it mean for you to be a Christian person? Anybody like to share an answer? Okay, but what does that mean? Okay, and to live by him means what? I'm sorry that I'm digging deeper into it, because when we get into Paul is very condensed, very compact, and if you start to look into it, he goes very deeply into what it means. So if I was to say, I'm a follower of Christ, what does that look like as I walk daily through my life?
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Yes, and Paul reminds us of that. But what does that look like as you live your life here today in Camrose? I'm sorry, smile at people who are not smiling to see if you can get a smile out of them? That's what you said?
It might be the first thing that has been shared with them.
It might be the first thing that's been shared with them. Okay, so what I hear you saying is that what we see in loving our God, what we see in following Christ, issues in an action that makes itself present to other people in the world so that they themselves understand what? What have we received that makes us different than love? Okay. Love and learning how to share it well.
Grace.
Grace. Lord, thank you for the food. No? I caught you, didn't I? We receive a hope of eternity, but it's more than that, isn't it?
And now we're part of the family of God, right?
Becoming part of the family of God.
And even the oneness with God, because Christ is in us, the Holy Spirit is in us, we become.
Yep.
It's much more than just who I was before I accepted Jesus as my Savior. But I am a new creation, right?
So, in a sense, we become a different person than we were before we became acquainted with Jesus. and that acquaintance with Jesus somehow transforms us. So when we look at that transformation, Paul says in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Right? Okay. How do we transform our mind? It's a lot of these things that Paul's talking to us about. Now, you notice I'm doing something very different today than I've done in my last two times with you. Because when I was looking at what I was doing, I was saying, yeah, I'm just being a preacher up here, expounding what the word is saying, but I'm not being a teacher who's helping us to begin that process whereby we totally understand in the wholeness of our being what it is Paul is saying that tells us about what God has done and is doing to enable us to be the quality and kind of people he expects us to be. I referred back in the first time I was here to the Genesis story and how God creates the world and he looks at it and it's good in its different elements as he gets there. And then when he creates man in the image of God and places him in the garden and puts him there to look after it and care for it and tend it and make it a place where he can reside and where people can reside and share with each other and care for each other. He looks at it and he says, it's very good. Now, if we look at those little qualities of things that are taking place there, God said he has a plan from the beginning. A plan of relationship with us and the world that he has created so that we can have a relationship in all of those entities and aspects which is very good. Anybody who has been in a relationship with another person where they have loved that person and have had that person share their love back with them, understands what it's like to feel the wholeness that comes from being in that kind of quality relationship. And we know from statistics that people who are married and care for each other have a better quality of life. They may not have an awful lot of money, but they have a better quality of life. They may not have mansions, but they have a comfort and ability to share and care and that makes their life feel worthwhile and valuable. And it comes out of a giving and a sharing and a caring. Marion, you said to smile at somebody. No? You know, I remember a story that was told about Sankey. And Sankey was a great musician who wrote a great many hymns that we have in our hymnaries. And how when he was just a young man of about 20 years old, he was ready to take his own life. Because he felt nobody cared for him and life just wasn't worth living. And he said, Lord, I'm going to put you to the test. As I walk to where I'm working today, if you care for me, you'll have somebody show me they care for me. And he walked most of the way there, and he's walking over a small bridge just before he got there. And this other person walked by him and smiled at him. And he said, wow, Lord, you do care. And he went on to be one of the greatest musicians of the Christian church. simple things often are the things that make the difference. Paul talks about how man went wrong in the garden. And we call it sin, making a mistake, going in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing. And so he brings Abraham into the process. And Abraham, in his faith, his trust, his belief in God, is faithful. And God says that's what makes him righteous. Now, he does other things with him. So God, once again, he once first creates us. Then when we go wrong, begins to show us, and I'm only touching on a few of the things because we can't touch on all of them. Just a second. That because he's faithful, he's going to make a great nation of him, from him, that will follow God. And he gives to them a purpose. A purpose to be the light to the nations. And then he gives them a sign of that purpose. The sign is circumcision. And the reason I talk about that is because when we go back to Paul in Romans, there's a whole great story and an unfolding of what does it mean to be circumcised? What does it mean to have true faith? What came first, faith or circumcision? Which came first? Faith came first. And Paul puts an emphasis on this, and he says, just as faith was the thing that created the right relationship with God and the right relationship that was to be given a purpose to be shared with everybody out there in the world, then that's what we're supposed to see happen. Did the Israelites fulfill that? Come on, you all know. No, they didn't. They did the same thing as happened with Adam and Eve in the garden, and they did not complete the process that they were supposed to complete. They did not share the good news, the light, the sharing, caring, compassionate, loving relationship that God was wanting to have happen between all of his people. So what is belief? What is faith? For Jesus, Paul says, that belief is a Messiah-shaped badge of obedience unto death. Now that's a huge mouthful when you take a look at it. I've heard people in the church say, you know, when we take a look at the Christian family, which is supposed to be an example of God's kingdom here on earth and God's relationship with people, that the man is the head of the wife. Now, you've all heard that, right? And often I've had people say to me, that means as a man, I rule my wife. And I've often said to people, well, is that what Paul says? Because he does, but he says something much more. He goes on to say, yeah, the man is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church and gave his life for her. So in the relationship that is supposed to be an example of how God loves and works and relates to us, my relationship with my wife is such that I love her in such a way that I would give my life for her. Now that's a phenomenal example, I think, of how much God loves us. But it's also a phenomenal example that it sets for how we are to share and care for each other. And that the wife is supposed to be respectful of that and respond to that. And if we understand that image that comes from Paul, we also understand the image of what's happening in Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. Because Paul, in many of his examples, is setting this whole thing up to be that continuation of a covenant relationship that he has set from the beginning and continues to renew over and over and over again. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? So what is Paul saying is the significant thing that is happening in our relationship to God and God's relationship to us and our relationship to each other. Circumcision became the sign of the people of Israel, an outward and physical sign of what? Of how we have faith in God. And that faith in God changes us. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. If I commit something to you, I write a letter, I give it to you, and I said, I'm committing this to you to give to Joe. How do you fulfill that? You deliver the letter, yeah. What's Paul saying when he's talking about the oracles of God? Paul's gone into the Greek world here, moving from his Hebraic world, which he's talking about most of the time. He's taking circumcision, which is in the Hebraic world and very significant, and moves into the Greek world and does something equally significant. Where were the oracles? Ever heard of the oracles of Delphi?
Promises.
When you went to Delphi to hear the oracles, you went to hear a word from God. Okay? So, if you have the promises to deliver the oracles of God, what are you doing? You're talking about delivering the word of God to other people. And Paul's saying here, the Israelite people, in their covenant and through Abraham, were given the word of God to deliver to the world. And that is the covenant they didn't fulfill. Because if they were the light to the nations, everybody would say, oh, look at the Israelites. They're a wonderful example of how God rules this earth and how we live with each other. But they'd failed in their process. And Paul later goes on to say that Jesus himself will become the faithful Israelite. As a faithful Israelite, what does he do? He delivers the message, the insight, the word of God. And Paul's saying, if you truly understand from Genesis right through, you're beginning to understand how I am the faithful one, but I have and want to be in relationship to you as my faithful ones. And it comes back to where we began today. What does that look like? It's not a simple, easy thing to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because Paul is here trying to get us to think in a different way. Look at your world. See what it is. Now, if you look around the world today, according to the news media, what does it look like? It's a mess. What does that mean?
It's chaotic, but I don't think we're getting all the news either.
I'm sorry, say that a little louder.
I don't think we're getting all the news. I think we're getting part of it.
Oh, we never get all the news. Never have, never will. You always only get that portion of it that you hear according to whoever delivers it. That's true through all history. So we only have a little bit, and then we're going to make a decision according to that, a judgment. And Paul is saying, okay, that's what's been, that's what is. You look at the world. I gave you a whole list of all the, quote, sins that people do, the things that make life less valuable, less worthwhile, jealousy, hatred, anger, sexual immorality, etc., 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 on and on. And we could go do the same thing in our world today. Okay. Those are all things that are happening. They're all part of the reality we live in. But we say we follow the God of creation. who has been revealed to us in a person called Jesus, who is the Messiah. Paul says this right at the beginning of his book of Romans. Who has come to live amongst us, to suffer, to die on a cross, and then to bring about a newness of life and be the first who is raised from the dead. What difference does that make? I have people that I know I would say, so what? But Paul, in taking that story, is saying that Jesus is trying, and God is trying, to get us to think in a different way. Because what he wants for us is that which is not only good, but very good. So what does goodness look like that comes from Jesus hung there on a cross saying, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. Saying to the criminal on the cross beside him, today you will be in paradise with me. And if that's going to make a difference for us, what is it that Paul is saying and Jesus is saying, in that Jesus is a true Israelite who calls us to be his disciples and go out and share this message with the world? How do you do that? What is it and how do you do it? Now, I'm trying to get you to think more deeply about what it means to be a Christian. And that's what Paul was doing when he wrote this letter to the Romans. Because the things that he described, which were pretty ugly things, in the world where he... Hello? Okay. In the world where he lived, I mean, that world, our world is bad in some ways, but in many ways, when you take a look at the Roman world and the world of that time, we live in the lap of luxury. We have things so much easier. The electricity of that world were slaves because they did all the work, the fetching, the carrying, the providing of everything that happened. I use that word electricity. Have you ever thought of what it'd be like not to have electricity? I talked to my mother-in-law, who's 102 years old, and she remembers when they didn't have electricity. And there's a sense in which Jesus is saying, I'm bringing a new electricity amongst you, something that energizes you and causes you to do things differently. Now, often we make it complex, and I think Jesus says, no, it's a very simple thing. And Paul says, in following Christ, it's a relatively easy thing. But is it easier to believe or to do? What do you think? I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is the God of the universe. Relatively easy to say, although I truly believe it, not just saying it. Or is it easier to do something? And I find that while we in the Christian faith have this, particularly the Protestant faith, have this problem of works and faith, by faith shall you be saved, you know? But what's the easier thing? Sometimes it's a lot easier to... In fact, the story of the breaking of the covenant and the restoring of the covenant and the renewing of the covenant is constantly the difference between that people who believed and yet were not able to do. James says that faith without works is dead. But does that mean that works saves you? No. But it means that when we take a look at what's happening in this process, there's a combination of things. And as Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have a different way for you to think. God has a different way for us to think. So, being circumcised, while being good, is not the solution. And he goes on to say there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female, and you know the rest. But how then do we not become but be Christian? And it starts back where we began with Mary, and over here is having that smile. It starts with giving a cup of cold water, or a sandwich, or just letting the other person know that you see them as a person of value and worth. Now those things appear easy on the surface, but not necessarily in their completeness. To do it. It's hard to say to a stranger, hello, sometimes. And yet that may be all you need to say. What is the saying? A person is only a stranger once. And the the covenant that God gave to Abraham and his people and renewed over and over again was to share with them that the God who created this whole world looked at each person in the eye and said, you're my child. You are of value. You are of worth. So the Israelites were entrusted with the oracles of God, the message of God. And Paul is saying that we become the new Israel that was started with Christ being the faithful Israelite. And we are to be the people who deliver the message of God. Wonderful. What is it? What is the message of God? Jesus is the Word of God. He's the message of God. He's the illustration of God. He's God in human form, all those things. But what is that for you and me? And as we live,
it's our way to salvation.
But God has given us salvation, but he's given it to us for a purpose. Pardon? Well, it's better to teach a man to fish than it is to give him a fish. So when we're fishing, what does that mean? I'm sorry, Marion, you have to speak up. How do we do that? How do we teach people how valuable they are? I look around me, I meet people every day who they think they're the scum of the earth and they're not worth blank.
Sometimes all it takes is a touch.
Sometimes? Share with us.
Be an example.
No. Merlin, what do we... Oh.
But then comes sanctification, and that's the process that we are in. And a lot of this, to me, however we're going to live that out or act that out, is taking on the attributes of God.
Yes, and we could talk about justification, we can talk about righteousness, and we can talk about a whole list of things that Paul has that are theological concepts, and Paul's really teaching us to think theologically. I'm trying to get away from using those terms by looking at the book of Romans and what Paul's saying to us and bringing it forward from the creation to say, how does that get put into daily action?
Well, by taking on the attributes of
God. Yes. Which are?
All of the things that Scripture teaches that are love, the fruit of the Spirit, are all attributes of God.
Yeah.
And that is how we will transfer it on to someone else. Okay. There might be more specific ways, but we need those essential ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grace.
In chapter 12.
Grace. Yes, that's part of it. Now you're beginning to think like I'm trying, that Paul, I think, is trying to get us to do. And that's why I deliberately changed my strategy in this process. Is that going to be different for you than me? But is there going to be a similarity in that? There's going to be differences because each of us is different. There's going to be differences because each of us contacts a different relationship with different people in different areas and different avenues of our life and world. But there's going to be a similarity in that we first understand what Merlin was saying in the sense of justification and righteousness and all that, that God loves us totally, completely, unconditionally. And in that has forgiven us. Now, sometimes that aspect is very difficult because the last person in the world I'm willing to forgive is myself. And until I forgive myself as God has forgiven me, what do I have to pass on to the other person? I cannot give away that which I do not have. But I have been given a phenomenal gift through grace from God in the person of Jesus Christ, that tells me that there is a distinctly different way of living and operating in this world. And when I take that to myself and say, yes, God, thank you. I appreciate, I understand, I realize that I am your child. And as your child, you've asked me to share who my Father is. My Father loves me completely. Understanding when I go wrong and the mistakes I make, and ask me, think about how I am. I walk down a road, and I find a person who has been wounded and injured, and I stop, and I bind up the wounds. I have a son that comes to me and asks for his whole inheritance, a total, ghastly snubbery within the laws and rules of the country I'm living in. But I give to him. And then when he goes away and wastes it all, and I see him coming back, I welcome him. And we could go on and on and on. And Paul gives other illustrations too. For now I say to you, says Paul in chapter 15, Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcised for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. I don't know that I will ever be able to love as God loves me. That's the challenge of daily living, of prayer and of worship and scripture reading. But when I begin to see the glory of God in the eyes of every other human being, because they are God's creature just as I am, then I have begun the journey of sharing the truth of God. A journey that Paul challenges us all to take, because he said that's the journey that Jesus Christ wants us to be on. Let us pray. O God, you love each one of us with an everlasting, unconditional, total, complete agape. And we, in our humanness, respond with our concept of love as if it's a part of a family. And you accept that as being good, but challenge us to continue the renewing of our minds so that we can be caretakers of your world, loving each other as you have loved us. Let us say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Spirit of God go with you and bless you and keep you this week and forever. Amen. At this rate, I'll never finish the book of Romans. Ha 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 ha.